Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Get your hopes up, part three, Hebrews chapter 11. Thank you, Tammy. Tammy's my daughter. Tammy, I want you to speak at my funeral. You always say such nice things. Say something nice when I die. Would you do that? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. You may be seated. To me, hope is an ongoing frontier. It never ends. There's always more to hope for. And I think the Bible teaches us that. It's an amazing paradox how the Bible frames things. It teaches us to be content in all things, but it teaches us to always be reaching forward for more. That's a tremendous balance. Christianity is a tremendous balance. And so it's a ever-going, unconquered frontier that you hope that no matter what you've achieved, tomorrow is going to be a bigger day. That's God's plan. God's never anticlimactic. He doesn't do something great and then something not so good. He always does great, then he always does better. That's the way God wants your life to be. There are two things I want you to draw from the verses of this text. Number one, hope precedes faith. I've spent a lifetime preaching on faith, thousands of messages on faith. When I look through my notes and I look through my mechanical storage and look at the cloud and pull it down, 70% of my messages are going to be on faith. Somebody made a wonderful text about me that had been here a long time, and several people echoed, said, "We've never heard you preach a negative message." That tells me that you have missed some church services, because I've preached some messages that were not what I wished. I'm like a baseball pitcher. When I watch baseball, I don't watch a lot of baseball anymore, but when I watch a World Series game and that pitcher throws that pitch up there and they just knock it out of the park. I mean, it's a home run, especially the bases are loaded. It's a grand slam. And that pitcher just stands there and that look on his face, I have so much empathy with him because I've preached so many sermons just like, I wished I could have that one back. That wasn't what I was trying to convey. That wasn't what I was trying to communicate. But I don't know that I've ever preached a sermon on faith that I wanted to take it back. Faith is a wonderful thing. If you can help somebody's faith just a little bit. But when you understand that faith, that hope precedes faith, it's amazing what that does. Before you can even believe God for it, even before you can think about the how to and the why to and the when, just think, that's what I wish. That's what I want. That's my desire. That's the portrait on the screen of my mind. This is what I want to happen. That's where it begins. That's the incubator of faith. Just the perfect picture that you create in your mind. And then the number two thing that I want you to receive from these texts is, faith birthed in hope creates things that are seen from things that are not seen. That's what the text said. Things that are seen from things that are not seen. That's amazing. That's amazing. Because that's not normal to the flesh. The flesh always wants to see indicators. The flesh always wants to see signs. The faith always says, it's about to. I see the trend changing. I see the boss is affected differently. I see he's responding differently. We're always looking for those signs. But hope, get that picture, and it needs absolutely no information surrounding it. Just out of nothing. Out of nothing. And so faith birthed in hope creates things that are seen out of things that are not seen. There's no way, and I hope you do, But there's no way that you could have an appreciation for the ministry that we have here and the building that we have here. Because when I came to San Antonio with little or no money, and I drove the streets for not days, weeks, months, looking for property, talking to so many people, and I absolutely had no faith indicators. I had no substance, nothing, but just hope I'm going to be able to find a property, that somehow, miraculously, I'm going to be able to obtain that property, and then I'm going to be able to put a building on that property. It's amazing. It's amazing. And then to drive up to this building every day, it's like my friend Lawrence Bishop used to say, he said, I can scarcely walk into my auditorium without crying because I see what God has done. And I have a similar feeling because I remember when I had nothing but hope, not even having faith birthed yet, but God brought everything we see in existence out of things that were not seen. And it's helped me spiritually to realize if God can do it with this architectural structure, He can do it in the spirit. Things that we don't see. There's no evidence. There's no indicator. There's no doctor's report. There's no lawyer's advice. There's no banker's support. There's no one to help you. But you just say, this is going to happen. To reverse hopelessness and get your hopes up in terrible times. That's what the Bible is about. To reverse hopelessness. Because the devil sells hopelessness every day of your life. No matter how much you have achieved, no matter how far you have come, the devil comes back with the same old merchandise, and it's hopelessness. That somehow he will be able to destroy your hope and create terrible times that will cause you to lose your hope. But one must believe in two things. And Becky said, Becky doesn't compliment me a lot on sermons I preach, but a service or two ago wasn't Wednesday night because I didn't preach. Must have been last, I think it was a week ago Wednesday night. She said that was so good when you said that there are two things that God does. It is resurrection and creation. That's what hope is. It says that which is dead is going to live again. And even greater than that, it says that that which never was is going to come to pass. That's hope. That's hope. Think of the best things in your life that you've lost and say, God is going to replace them with resurrection. Think of the things that you've never, ever had and think God is going to create those things. That's where hope is born. God can resurrect, restore, make alive again. God can create. Somebody told me this 40 years ago, that the word make means assemble, put together out of elements, make something. You make something. A carpenter, he makes a chair. He makes it. He doesn't create it. He makes it. But God is the only one that can create things. Where did the world come from? God spoke, and out of nothing, the sun, the moon, the earth, the stars, everything we know. God created that out of nothing. God can create and bring existence from nothing, not assemble, not put together, but bring into existence from nothing. By faith we understand the worlds were framed. When I read that verse one day, years ago, it jumped out of me. If God could frame a world by His word, the earth and the stars, just by His word, then no matter what I need in my life, by His word, God can frame whatever I need. God can create whatever I need. The Bible is the textbook on hope. Stories of impossible circumstances being reversed by people of unfailing hope. Hope is the third component in the healing message, medicine for what the Bible calls the deceitful heart of man. Do you ever find things in the Bible that's just offensive? I've always been offended by the fact that my heart, the human heart, is deceitfully wicked. That's what the Bible said. But praise God, there is a healing medicine. And the third component in that healing medicine is what? And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, love. So the healing components that can make my heart right are faith, hope, and love. Hope is the triplet of love and faith. Hope is the serum for sorrow. Hope is the mysterious, elusive balm that was inquired at in Gilead. Hope is the remedy for despair. Hope is the ferocious fighter of fear. Hope is the antibody against suicide. Hope is the catalyst for creativity. Hope is the fulcrum for faith. Hope is the fuel of endurance. Hope is the antonym for depression. Hope gave Abraham his son. Hope gave Joseph his dream. Hope gave Jacob his birthright. Hope gave Caleb his mountain. Hope gave Joel his latter rain. Hope gave David his tabernacle and Solomon his temple. Hope gave John the Baptist his Messiah. Hope gave Peter his second chance. Hope gave Paul his purpose. And Pope gave the Gentiles an open door. But what has hope done for me? It has brought me out and told me that it is unsavable. You are saved. That was beyond help. You are helped. That was hellbound has reversed my destination and said you are heavenbound. Hope has given me peace for war. The war of the human heart, the Bible speaks about. Hope gave me joy for despair. Hope gave me faith for fear. Hope gave me aspirations for quitting. Hope gives me everything I have. It gives me the joy I wake up with. It gives me the ingenuity to continue. It gives me the strength to not stop. It gives me the love to share. It gives me the ability to say I am, no matter what it looks like. It gives me the strength to say I am strong when I feel weak. It gives me the strength to say I am saved when the devil says you are lost. It gives me the faith to say, I am a child of God when the devil says you are a hypocrite. It gives me the right and the faith to say, you are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And when I see the incoming missiles of Satan, it gives me the ability to say, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Hope is amazing what it does for me. Hope puts food on my table. Hope puts clothes on my body. Hope puts money in my bank. Hope puts a car in my garage. Hope gives me friends. Hope gives me fellowship. Hope gives me posture. Hope gives me position. Hope gives me a place. Oh, friend, my hope is in the Lord. And as I said a Wednesday night ago, as my hope grows, I will praise him more and more and more and more. What I want to continue to talk about today is how do I get my hopes up? Desire, desire. I want you to catch a hold of what Becky Fender taught me years ago. Everything in life is a decision. Have you ever had a thought that hits you like two before slapping you up beside the head till you reeled, you were stunned? When I heard Becky say, everything is a hope, it was shocking. Everything is a decision, it was shocking. I had to contemplate, that can't possibly be true. And you start going back in life and see your life unfold. Yes, that was a decision. Yes, that was a decision. Yes, that was a decision. And so, friend, when you understand that revelation, that everything is because of a decision, then it is ultimately superior in your life that you make a decision that I will become a person of unflappable, unstoppable, unquenchable hope. I don't care what my mother says. It doesn't matter if my dad said I was the dumbest child of the family. It doesn't matter if my teacher said I will never graduate. It doesn't matter if my preacher says I'll never make it to heaven. My hope will now surmount everything because my hope is unstoppable. I simply live in hope. And it is extremely important. It is imperative that I live my life in hope. And number two, I must be convinced that the impossible is not only possible, but the impossible in my life is probable. Things that are far-fetched and unsuspected in my life are going to come to pass. I'm going to rise to the top when everything is pushing me down. I'm going to win when everything says you're a loser. I'm going to overcome when everything says you are going to be overcome. I must be convinced that the impossible is probable. And I must be convinced that my substance of things hoped for will manifest, not based on my abilities, not based on my performance, but the things that are unseen will become seen based on God's ability and God's willingness to perform what He has promised in my behalf. It makes me an amazing saint of God. It makes me a worshiper of Jehovah God. Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord is doing. And look what the Lord will do. Not because of my ability. Not because of my IQ. Not because of anything. But simply because of His unfathomable, unquenchable, unstoppable love for me. When you think of the love that drove Him to Calvary and held Him to the cross, how can you question that His love would fail to make you everything you want to be? My hope is in the cross. My hope is in the empty tomb. My hope is in the fiery upper room. My hope is in God, that I am able because He has made me able. Praise God. And when I, like the children in the fiery furnace, realize that it is beyond my ability and beyond my scope and my influence, I still say, I will not bow, and I will not burn, and I will not stop, and I will not quit, because I believe in Him that is able to bring the impossible to my life. The three true Hebrew children based their hope on a scriptural principle that was not yet written, but understood by every hero of the Bible. And this is the verse, that by two immutable, that means unchangeable, undeniable, erasable, unerasable, cannot be stopped, by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. That's not the thing. It's just saying it's impossible for God to lie. We might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. I went into an exhaustive search. What are those two immutable things? And I finally discovered what they are. And these are the things that are immutable, the two things that you can base your life on, you can establish your hope on. Without faith, it is possible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. The two immutable things is that He is. My God is, He was, and He will be. The Kremlin in Russia cannot stop Him. The agnostic professor at Harvard cannot anyway taint Him. He is. He always was. Before there was a world, He was. He is the Almighty God, but God, in the beginning God, He just was, and He always will be. That's where I hang my hope. There is a God. There is a God. But oh, then I find that the second thing that is immutable is He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Not only is there a God, He's a good God. He's a kind God. He's a compassionate God. He's a loving God. He's a parental God. He's a Godfather. He's a Father God. He is my Father. I am His child. I am His son. Oh, and when I know that, He would not deny me any good thing. He will not withhold anything from me that is for my benefit. He's always on my side. He's before me and behind me. He's to my right and He is to my left. Two immutable things. He is, and He is a rewarder. He's going to find something to bless me with today, not because I am what I am, but because of what He is. He's just a Father. He wants to put food on my table spiritually and physically. He wants to clothe me physically and spiritually with the clothes I'm wearing, but with His own cloak of righteousness. What a mighty God. Oh, the devil is a liar. He cannot make me hopeless. I say, get your hopes up. There is a God that is for you. He's on your side. Every day He is fighting demons for you. Every day He is working in your conflicts. Every day He is ruling in your favor. He just says, if you understand and you're getting hope, He said, praise me more and more and more. My job is not to be analytical. My job is not to figure it out. My job is not to be a spiritual PhD. My job is to praise Him more and more and more. And the more I praise Him, the greater my hope becomes. And the greater my hope becomes, the more invisible things become visible. And I say, look what the Lord has done. Look how far the Lord has brought me. Look how the Lord has manifested. Look at God's love becoming a tangible thing. I wear the love. I taste the love of God. I walk in the love of God. Oh, my hope is in Him. It is what every person of great spiritual hope knows, that God is, and He is a rewarder of them that seek Him. It's what Mary, Martha, and the Jews struggle with at Lazarus' graveyard. They struggle with it. They believe that He could prevent, but now we're struggling. Can He really be a creator? And is His reward resurrection? Yes, He can be a creator, and His reward is resurrection. The Hebrew children hope when they would not bow. It was Abraham's hope when he was ready to sacrifice and stick the knife in his son Isaac's bosom. It was Job's hope when he refused to follow the advice of his wife and curse God and die. But he announced, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. How can you trust a God that would slay you? Because He is. And He is a rewarder, and He is not only a creator, He is a resurrector. And though He slay me, He'll raise me up better than I was. What a God we serve! Yet I will trust Him. He held to the hope of creation and resurrection. I hold to that hope. What I was good, but what I will be better. Every day is going to be stronger in the Lord. He's bringing to pass those things that are not as though they were. I praise Him more and more and more. Get your hopes up. The best is yet to come. The Lord is leading you on. And the Bible teaches us when they endured that long drought, Elijah finally said to his servant, he said, go out and see what you can see. As the servant prepared to go, this is what Elijah said. I never understood this to this week. I've always preached it this way. Elijah sent him out. He came back and said, I see nothing. Elijah sent him out. He came back and said, I see nothing. That's not what the Bible said. The Bible said that Elijah said, go out seven times. He knew he was going to see nothing, but it simply did not matter. I ask you, my friend, how does your faith stack up against nothing? Elijah had that amazing faith against nothing. He knew there was going to be nothing, and it simply did not matter because he had hope. And he watched that servant go out and come back long-faced, and he wanted to give him a report. I don't want your report until it is the right report. Because, ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, no matter what happens, I want to tell you that God is not only the author, He's the finisher. He's not only the Alpha, He's the Omega. My hope is in God. This world is a mess, but praise God, my hope is in revival. My hope is in resurrection. My hope is in the visitation of the Lord. My hope is in the falling of His Spirit. My hope is in salvation. My hope is that God, that created this world from the beginning, also had an exit strategy. President Bush was criticized because he didn't have a strategy of exit for his war. Let me tell you, my God's got an exit strategy. He said, no matter what you're in, I'll make a way of escape. He said, no matter what's going on in this world, one of these days I'll come, and it will not be with a whimper. It will be the shout of the triumphant one. My hope is in Him. The Apostle Paul called it the blessed hope. Ladies and gentlemen, my future is secure. My life is intact because my hope is not in this world. I would be of all men most miserable, but my hope is in a God that has lived in every world and in every time zone. A God that has been in the past, a God that has been in the present, and a God that will be in the future. Ladies and gentlemen, He walks with me and He talks with me, and He is my companion and He is my friend, and He is in this room right now. He calls the devil a liar to His face. The devil is lying to you, but you need to stand up and declare, devil, you can't touch my hope. Can't touch this? No, because my hope is in the Lord. I will be in health. I will prosper even as my soul prospers. Today will be good. Tomorrow will be better because the Lord is on my side. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a revival coming. I hear the going in the mulberry tree. There's an outpouring coming. The glory of the latter house is about to be manifest. There is a greater day coming. Get your hopes up. Take your harp down from the willow. Sing the Lord's song in a strange land. Turn to your right, turn to your left, look over your shoulder, look ahead, and declare all to hear, my hope is in the Lord, so I will praise Him more and more and more. For what He has done has been splendid and fantastic, but pales into comparison with what He is about to do in my life. The Lord is making a way for me, and the devil can't do anything to interfere, because greater is He that's in me than he that is in the world. That's the God we serve. Would you stand on your feet? Lift your hands right now and declare, I will praise Him more and more. I believe that God is on a course to bless people, certain people. On Wednesday night, I'll share that with you as I talk about the sons versus servants again. But God is on a course to bless His sons in such a way that you are going to be a witness. Jesus said, greater works than these shall you do. Jesus turned the world upside down because of His works. It wasn't because just of His teaching, it was His works. Greater works than these shall you do. God has saved the best for the last. It's all through the Bible. The pattern is established. The last wine, the marriage of Cana, the first miracle of Christ, it was the best wine at the marriage. He always saves the best for the last. And so there are people that are now being guided by God. And God is putting you in a position. And you said, God, I've loved you. And I've been blessed. I thank you. It just seems like there ought to be more. Oh, there is. And you're getting ready for more. God is positioning you, not just for your sake, but for His sake. For you are getting ready to be on the catwalk of God's display. And when they say, she's not wearing a Fabergé, she's wearing Christ. She came from nowhere. Didn't ever get a degree from college, But look what's happened. How did that happen? It's the blessing of God on you. Ladies and gentlemen, I truly believe that we have seen nothing yet compared to what we are about to see. God is singling people out to anoint and to bless because you are the catalyst for your neighborhood, your job, your family, your church. And God is saying, I'm going to use you. You're going to be the one they see. And they're going to recognize if it could happen to her, it could happen to me. And they're going to follow you as Elisha followed Elijah. And their same request is going to be that of Elijah. Give me a double portion of what Michael's got. Give me a double portion of what Michael's got. Years ago, 30 years ago, a young man sat in my office with a call to preach. And he had a legitimate call to preach. And he said, Pastor, I was a young preacher then. He said, Pastor, what I want is a double portion of what you've got. And he did well for a while. But he hadn't made that commitment that Becky and I made. He hadn't made the commitment we made to Christianity. And somewhere along the line, he fell out. But I promise you, he had the talent, he had the ability. If he would have followed me as I follow Christ, he would have been head and shoulders above me. I will be disappointed if Pastor Brandon does not experience at least a double portion of what I've experienced. That's God's plan. It never gets less from generation to generation. Ladies and gentlemen, get your hopes up. You are a candidate, and this is the time for God to do more in your life than he's ever done in anybody you know. Not just you, but anybody you know. Friend, this is a great time, and it's a time of sifting when people are giving up and stopping and quitting because the devil has won over them. But there are some people in this house that they're like Becky Fender, no matter what women, no matter what men, no matter what Christians, it just doesn't matter. I've set my face like a flint toward Jerusalem, and I am got my hopes up, and I'm waiting for the manifestation of his sons. The Bible said in the last days, all of creation will wait for the manifestation of his sons, and I'm getting into Wednesday night now, but you are about to manifest as a son of God. And praise God, when you manifest as a son of God, you get the car keys, you get the keys, you get authority, you get a place to live. When you become mature, when you become a son, it changes your life completely. Would you lift your hands and say, God, here I am.